Would you please take perhaps the back side of your bulletin and have a little assignment for you to do. I would like you to write down as many spiritual gifts as you are aware of right now. Just write a list of spiritual gifts. Don't open your Bibles, no. Write some spiritual gifts down. You may not get all 84 of them or so, but... No, there are not 84. Let me... Now, I know that some of you may be still writing, but here's the second thing I'd like you to do. If you think you know what your spiritual gift is, would you please write that down? You don't have to share that with anybody, by the way. But just write down what you think your spiritual gift may be. Please don't put down the gift of gab. Some of us might have that, but that's not a spiritual gift. And I'll be the first to admit I have the gift of gab. All right, having done that, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4. While you're turning there, a few years ago when I was pastoring in East Lansing, Michigan, I was invited by another pastor in the state to go to a married couple's conference that he was hosting, and he wanted me to be the speaker at this conference that he was having, a marriage conference. And he was holding it in a place called Sarnia, Ontario. We were in Michigan, but we were having it just across the border into Canada in a town called Sarnia. On one side of the river is Sarnia, on the other side of the river is Port Huron, Michigan, and so I was having it there. Well, I wanted to take back then, now you see this was many years ago, I took an overhead projector with me. It was being held at a hotel, and so I wanted to make sure I had this because I wanted to do some things with some transparencies and so forth. And I was fine getting into Canada. But when I came back out of Canada, coming through customs with this overhead projector in the back of my car, they wanted to know if I had purchased that in Canada. And I said, no, I took it with me. Well, do you have any proof that you took it with you? And then they said, Do you have any paperwork on it? Where was it manufactured? And I said, well, I believe it was manufactured in the United States. And then we started looking, and it was from Japan. But anyway, so it wasn't even manufactured. And long story short, they finally believed my story and let me come back in with it without paying any duty on it or anything like that. But during this family conference, I was... in one of my sessions, dealing with the complexity of a couple that are two people becoming one. And when you consider that, you have to think about things like temperaments, likes and dislikes, talents, spiritual gifts, personality traits. There's just all kinds of variables that have to become one. Very complex. But now I want you to expand that. Even in a congregation our size, we have approximately 100 members. With all of us, with our backgrounds, our personalities, our likes and dislikes, our temperaments, our talents, our abilities, our preferences, our spiritual gifts, and what are we to be? One. If it's hard for two people to become one, just think of the complexity of 100 people becoming one, or 1,000 people becoming one. But that's exactly what we are to be in Christ. We are one body in Christ, Corinthians tells us. And so as we look here at 1 Peter 4, tonight is just going to be an introductory study tonight, but look at verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 10 kind of introduces us to this whole topic of spiritual gifts. Because it says, as every man hath received the gift. Does anyone know, or maybe you can look quickly if you have to on your iPhone or iPad, what the Greek word for gift here is? I'm waiting so that we can verify it. Charisma. Ho-ho. Gift is charisma. What is grace? Look that up, Mr. Fry, at the end of that same verse. Stewards of the manifold grace of God. Charis. Charis. And charisma is just a form of the word charis. Grace. Gifts, grace. Do you then see where many get the title for the charismatic movement? It's the word charisma or the word charis. And these are gracious gifts that God gives to us. One time I was in a home and I was visiting a young family. And this young man, as we were sitting around a table, his son was still an infant sitting in the high chair. And his son was throwing a fit, a tantrum. He was mad. He didn't get what he wanted. And the father said, well, I can already see that my son is going to have the gift of, or has the gift of administration. He's ruling. Okay. So he and I had a little discussion about what a spiritual gift was and when you get that and so forth. And I do not believe that his son was exhibiting any kind of a spiritual gift that night. He was exhibiting a fallen nature is what he was exhibiting that night. But we find here this whole teaching is introduced to us here in 1 Peter, about every man hath received the gift. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Back a few chapters to 1 Corinthians 12. It says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So did Paul want the believers at Corinth to understand spiritual gifts? Certainly he did. Do you think God wants us to understand spiritual gifts tonight? Yes, he does. Many Christians in churches today are terribly confused about the matter of spiritual gifts. There's a lot of confusion out there. Many in churches are caught between two extremes. One extreme is what's spoken of right here in this verse. I would not have you. There is gross ignorance about spiritual gifts today. A lot of people just would throw up their hand and say, I don't know anything about spiritual gifts. Nothing. Never studied, never considered, never been taught. Don't know anything about spiritual gifts. Don't know or even attempt to exercise their spiritual gift because they don't know what it is. They're unaware of what the Word of God tells us about spiritual gifts. So the first extreme is just total ignorance of spiritual gifts. But there's a second extreme, and that's a terrible abuse of spiritual gifts. They either don't know or they abuse what they do know. There is a terrible amount of abuse in relationship to spiritual gifts today. There is misuse of those gifts. I know I have talked to people in person about this, but some people equate spiritual gifts with spiritual growth. And if you reach a certain spiritual level in your Christian growth, you will be those who receive and manifest certain gifts. But you have to get to that spiritual level first. There are those who equate spiritual gifts with God's blessing on your life. So that if you work to please God and you do this and you do this, then God will shower some kind of spiritual gift upon you. And then there are those in certain churches who use their spiritual gifts or so-called spiritual gifts for their own personal glory. And as we study, we will see that God never intended that any of us get glory to ourselves through any of our gifts. God never intended that any one of us receive any glory for a gift that God has given us. And then there are those who use their personal gifts for themselves. And again, as we get into this study, we will see that a spiritual gift of God was never intended for yourself. It's always intended to help edify the body. And so sometimes gifts become the source of pride. Well, I have this gift. What is yours? I have this gift. And then contention and division can happen because of this misuse of spiritual gifts. And the problems caused by these two extremes are certainly not new. In fact, those same things have been seen in the New Testament. The problem has existed among the believers at Corinth. Look at chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 7. Did they have spiritual gifts being exercised in their church? Did they have spiritual gifts in their church? In chapter 1, verse 7 of Corinthians, it says, so that ye come behind in no gift. And what's he saying there? There are no gifts lacking in the church at Corinth. every spiritual gift that God intended that church to have, they have. They aren't lacking any. So there were lots of spiritual gifts being used in the church at Corinth. But there was still great ignorance concerning those spiritual gifts, because Paul later wrote, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. And there was tremendous abuse because of those spiritual gifts. There was failure to understand the true nature and exercise of their spiritual gifts. That's why Paul wrote in 12:1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. My goal in this series of Sunday night studies now will be to give clear biblical instruction as to the purpose of spiritual gifts. Why do we have them? What is the purpose? But we're also going to discover what these gifts are, who has them, how they were received, and we're going to study not only several truths that are related to all of them, but we are going to take the time to study each of the gifts individually and separately as to their use and their misuse. And so I've been praying, even as I decided to go ahead with this study, that certainly God will help this study to be rich and profitable, not just in our individual lives, but especially in our corporate life as a congregation. And if you are not aware of your spiritual gift or gifts, my prayer is that you will discover those, and that our church would prosper and be strengthened as each of us exercises our spiritual gifts for the benefit of one another. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Here's the goal. Ephesians 4, 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the goal. That's why we have been given these spiritual gifts. And tonight I just want to answer one major question. And that is, why are spiritual gifts so important? Why are they so important? Can't we get along without the spiritual gifts? And as we study, we will see that there are three main passages that deal with spiritual gifts. There's a passage in Romans 12. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, in that whole section. And then there's a passage here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, there's a very short passage that we've already read in 1 Peter 4. But mainly, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. But tonight, in the few minutes that we have left tonight, I want to give us four reasons why spiritual gifts are so important. Go to Acts 1:8. Most of us know this passage. But here in verse 8, Jesus says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem. And then they began to wait. And chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we believe that this is a time when they were endowed with those spiritual gifts. And what depended upon these spiritual gifts? Well, back in verse 8, it tells us that that power had to come so that they could be what? Witnesses. Number one, important reason for spiritual gift is that worldwide evangelism depends on it. Gifts are important because they're to be used to reach others for Christ. And the heartbeat of God is the gospel. And the proper use of the gifts brings others to Christ. The proper use. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 again, where we just were. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, teachers. What's one? Evangelists. Very closely related with the word, the verb, evangelism. God gave gifts unto believers for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. And one of the things that the body of Christ is to do is to reach the lost. So it's very important to worldwide evangelism. But secondly, here in Ephesians chapter 4, we find that the development of the body of Christ, the church, is accomplished through the proper functioning of spiritual gifts. What will be the outcome? Well, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. So saints are going to be fully equipped. That's what the word perfect means here. They are going to be equipped. They are going to be equipped to do what? The work of the ministry. They're going to be equipped to do the work of the ministry for what purpose? The edifying of the body of Christ. And so this passage tells us that we are to strengthen one another, we are to edify one another, we are to build up one another. And that's one of the purposes of spiritual gifts. And that's why that's so important, because if we do not exercise our spiritual gifts, then that edifying will not take place. Again, in 1 Corinthians 14, let me just read some verses to you. It says, verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So what was he do? Edify, exhort, and comfort. Who? The body. In verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. What are we supposed to do with our gifts? Edify the church. Verse 17, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. What are you talking about? Well, he's talking about some gifts of tongues that, and you might be thanking well, but nobody around, if they can't understand, is not being edified, because the purpose and the goal is always edification. Verse 25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And so, again, there is the falling down and the worshiping God and the building up. Thirdly, not only are gifts important to the evangelization of the lost, but also to the development of the church, the body of Christ. But then they are important because we, as faithful stewards of God's grace, have to exercise our gifts properly if we're going to be faithful stewards. We know that we are to be stewards of our material resources, don't we? God gives us our material finances, and what are we to do with those? We are to be good stewards, and we are to be faithful in obediently giving back to God as he has instructed us. And but is that all we're to be good stewards of? Just our material possessions? No, we are to be good stewards of our spiritual gifts as well. If I have been given a spiritual gift and I do not exercise that spiritual gift, then I am wasting that gift that God has given to me. And I'm not using it for the edifying of the body. So it's important because we have to be good stewards. And then lastly, through the proper use of spiritual gifts, God is glorified. God is glorified. That's why they're important, so that God can get the glory. Remember, we're not to get the glory. God's to get the glory. And so he gave us gifts so that we might evangelize the lost. He gave us spiritual gifts so that we might edify his body, the church. He gave us spiritual gifts and expects us to be good stewards with our spiritual gifts. And he gives us spiritual gifts so that they can be used for his glory. Is the possession of a spiritual gift always associated with maturity as a Christian? I think we would have to answer no, because what did Paul say about the church at Corinth? They came behind in no gift, but they were some of the most carnal, immature, those who were in factions and division. And yet they had all the gifts. What was the problem? Misuse and abuse and ignorance concerning those spiritual gifts. And so I pray that as we begin this study of spiritual gifts, that God will get the glory, and that we will be faithful stewards, and that our church will be edified, and it will help us in reaching the lost. That's why we need to know our spiritual gifts tonight. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we have just begun this important topic, that you will indeed be our instructor and our guide, because there is so much confusion in this area today. Because there is so much ignorance in this area today, because there is so much misuse and abuse of spiritual gifts, I pray that you'll help us to rightly divide the word of truth, that your Spirit would guide us into all truth, that you would cause us not to be deceived in any way or misinterpret what you have for us during this study. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.